Today, more households ride the pain train. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, this is going to be a bit of a discussion about the auction clearance rates over the weekend, but set into a broader context. Because, well, as I've been discussing in recent times, and as the newspapers are full over the weekend, things are looking pretty wobbly for the property market. And they've even now started talking about those in the rental sector too. So we're going to look at some of that today and try and figure out what is going on and what it really all means. And here, courtesy of Grok, is a little bit of a picture that tells the story. People feel trapped. They feel as though they're going along, well, in a rather crowded and uncomfortable way. While inflation remains hot, real wages are continuing to still go backwards and home prices are falling. And yes, it's pretty painful for many people. And in fact, if you want to know more specifically about where the pressure is building, join me for my live show on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney, where I'll be talking specifically about how we're mapping the household housing pain. Oh, and by the way, yes, we got a good amount of coverage over the weekend relating to our analysis. People are beginning to understand, I think, for the first time, the seriousness of the situation that we're currently in. But of course, it's taken some time. And yeah, I have been talking about this for a long time. But of course, it was always going to come. There was always going to be a tipping point when the never-ending home price growth came to an end. And I think that's where we are now. And I made a few shows this last week. For example, I covered the new home loan lending, which fell significantly in the June quarter, which of course is creating significant discussion among the banks. And I also spoke about the question of, well, can you have a home price story which is half full? Well, maybe look at New Zealand and maybe not. So these are very significant times. And yes, the articles are bubbling through now. Ready to burst, this one says. Air is coming out of the housing market. Is it now the time for first home buyers? Well, Shane Wright and Clancy Yates reports and talks specifically about the questions of the property market, the ingrained expectation, the nation's psyche of price rises. Well, maybe that's being questioned now. And they talk about the CBA, who reported a significant fall in mortgage applications, followed, of course, by the others too. And also other expectations now about price falls. And ANZ, for example, suggests that Sydney prices could fall by 14.5% by the end of next year, with Melbourne not far behind at 12.8%. Matt Common, as I discussed, talks about the glass half full story of the property market, but others are suggesting that with the decline in applications, things are looking pretty tight. And yes, the auction rates and mortgage applications, of course, are part of the story too. And just to take that a little bit further, it's worth highlighting that Michelle Bullock highlighted that housing prices have risen a lot. If you look at the percentage of households who are in negative equity, it's under 1%, she said. If property prices were to fall, let's say 20%, it's still only 5% of households in negative equity. But of course, the truth is that this negative equity story is more real for some households than others. And whilst the prospect of real negative equity might be relatively small, the broader prospect of seeing your theoretical wealth being eroded by home prices is much more significant, widespread, and definitely creating part of the pain story at the moment. And it's interesting that Christopher Kent, in his recent outing, noted that falling house values, all things else being equal, would perhaps reduce the pressure to lift interest rates, because it will actually be a question of how that constrains aggregate demand. which in turn could help to bring inflation back into the RBA's target. So there you go. The RBA now saying that house price falls will help potentially to alleviate inflation. Well, that's an interesting take. And it's also worth highlighting again that the investment sector is where a lot of the momentum has disappeared, 8.6% down. And as Saul Eslake is reported as saying here in this particular article, well, guess what? It was actually intentional. This is the point of the measures the government brought in. Although the government seems curiously reluctant to acknowledge and embrace that, he said. And if you think, as I do, that the fact that housing has become increasingly unaffordable for a growing share of the population is a problem, then surely things that result in housing becoming cheaper should be welcomed. And I thought this was an interesting article from Tim McIntyre, who highlighted the fact that Bullock's tone is perhaps more helpful than Philip Lowe's, and at least Miss Bullock refrained from offering helpful advice to home loan borrowers that previous governors used to dally in, tips like packing a lunch rather than eating out. But something she also refrained from mentioning up front, later revealed it to journalists, was that the decision to hold was a unanimous one. So, let's see. But look, the fact is, property investors are definitely being wiped out. We saw that in the momentum disappearing from the investment sector, 5,000 loans, give or take. A shocking 4,966 investor loan borrowing down 8.6%. And by the way, the number of first home loans also dropped 2.9%. And I want to highlight here that there is a real question about housing affordability, because according to data from Foundit, the truth is that housing affordability for first-time buyers is now adverse than it's been for the last 40 years. This year was found to be the first time on record where saving a 10% deposit required more than a year of the average wage, they said. And sure, recent price decreases perhaps might help a little, but the truth is, it's still terribly, terribly tough. Now, Ray White's economist did say that, well, eventually, if price falls far enough, that should help, particularly with home buyers at the cheaper end, perhaps thinking they will buy. But look, this is a very difficult time. First-time buyers are voting with their feet. They are not wanting to buy at the moment. Why would you buy now when prices will fall further, especially when it's also affordable? And yep, there are significant stories here about where prices are slumping. And this article highlights certain Sydney suburbs with a track record of crashing prices. Homeowners on the urban fringe within high-density pockets and key pricey postcodes have been warned their properties will be the most vulnerable as Sydney's housing correction intensifies. Again, this is referring to the Foundit research. And areas where price falls the most are a reflection of who sells, they said. The city's deepest repeat faller was Dural Wiseman's Ferry area in Sydney's northwest fringe. Other areas with a track record of falling harder and faster during downturns were Leichhardt, Canada Bay, Strathfield, Burwood, Ashfield area, all in the inner west, and the Warringah region of the Northern Beaches, along with Cogger and Rockdale, and the Sutherland, Heathcote, Menai area of Sydney were also flagged. And let me just make the point here that some of those areas are areas where we see very high levels of mortgage stress at the moment. And as you know, when I talk about mortgage stress, I'm talking about cash flow pressures. Those cash flow pressures eventually mean that people will be forced to sell. And some of that is definitely coming to the boil at the moment. But interestingly now, the journalists have picked up on the renter story. Rents are through the roof. Property values might be dropping, but there is no good news for tenants forced to find an extra $100 a week. And here are areas where there is still significant increases. Quarterly rental increases in Camaray up 21.3%, or the Entrance up 10.5%, or Dover Heights up 7.3%. That's for units, the others were for houses. And the article here highlights the fact that some renters are staying put to try and avoid the rises. More Geelong renters are staying put to avoid facing higher rental costs as a result of moving house, as new figures reveal the state of rent prices across the city. REA Group quarterly median rent data reveals renters are being asked to pay up to $60 a week more for a house in some suburbs than 12 months ago. And they highlight again their specific areas where rents have been going up. Yep, and that continues with this article talking about Queensland. Queensland tenants are also being hammered. Latest data from realestate.com.au exposes the brutal knock-on effect of the May budget, serving as a barometer of landlord sentiment. Now, it's true that because of Queensland's rent increase cap, we won't see the full impact of recent federal budget taxation reforms for some time. It's going to continue. And yeah, there are articles here where people are being effectively served with a notice of intention to leave after complaining that their $800 a week rental was mold infested and had had their rent slashed and urgent repairs were ordered. So there are lots of other issues going on here too. But just worth reflecting more broadly, if you look at the house price falls, according to Catality, it's not falling that far yet, but it could. And as I highlighted the other day, some of the articles have been talking about significant falls. And more broadly also, traders are having a real issue because, of course, if you want to try and get repairs of any sort done, simple maintenance, for example, up in Queensland, a Townsville renter's week-long wait for a simple property repair job exposed the depths of North Queensland's tradie shortage across the country, actually. And trade prices are rising. It's a clear sign the labour remains under pressure. So there are competing demands from residential renovations and a growing pipeline of construction, mining, utilities, energy and industrial projects, adding to pressure for the same pool of workers. And I had quite a lot of coverage in the newspapers over the weekend, again using my data. So this is a headline saying default danger rises. Australia has hit the highest risk of mortgage default in 25 years. Again, quoting my particular analysis, saying that buyers in outer suburbs often stretch their income across a big mortgage with high repayments. Defaults are higher in high growth corridors where households have bought with larger mortgages. And yep, more coverage here up in Queensland too. More than 9,500 households sank into negative cash flow. And again, citing my data, in Brisbane in particular, we saw a massive price rise. So debt to income is high and two incomes are now the norm, I said. And recent first-time buyers and people who traded up are under the most pressure. Investors are less exposed as they have more choices, including potentially selling. And in fact, they also quote loan market broker Justin Hewitt, who says no one is immune to the cost of living pressures. And separate national research from Roy Morgan confirmed lower income worker families are absorbing the most financial pain, with 1.06 million Australian mortgage holders now in extreme risk of mortgage stress. They define mortgage stress differently to me. And they also make the point, as I've seen in my surveys too, that many of those borrowers in stress are effectively locked out of refinancing options. Those in extreme mortgage stress are unlikely to qualify for a new mortgage, even for a reduced amount outstanding, they said. And the coverage also included South Australia, where again, we highlighted significant rises. Defaults are higher in high growth corridors, where households have bought with higher mortgages, often home and land packages, in recent years. And you can see there the considerable rises in some areas. Now let's turn to the auction clearance rates, because of course, this is another little signal about what is going on. And in fact, if you look at the latest data, the Sydney and Melbourne auction markets softened over the week to last Saturday, which is adding to the weakness in the residential sector that's hit by high interest rates and poor consumer confidence and the falls to date. Nationally, there were 1,309 properties listed for auction. That's according to Catalyte. That's well below the decade average of 68% and consistent with the recent weakness that we've seen. The true clearance, which I compare listed with sold, came in again as a low 41%. Melbourne suffered the biggest decline as the number of scheduled auctions fell to 596 from 659 a week ago, and the preliminary clearance rate fell to 57.4% from 60.8%, back to its lowest in 3 weeks, and the true clearance came in at just 45.6%. Sydney's preliminary clearance rate slipped to 55.6% from 57% the previous week, while the number of scheduled auctions ticked up just a little from 425 compared with 412 last week, giving a true clearance, though, of 40.9%. And in Brisbane, the preliminary clearance rate jumped to 51.9%, but on very low volumes, from 38.1% in a market with 145 scheduled auctions, but a true clearance of just 28.3%. And Adelaide's preliminary clearance rate jumped to 61.9% from 46.8%, but again on very low volumes, and just 88 scheduled auctions, and a true clearance of 29.5%, while in Canberra, the initial rate picked up to 60% from 45.9% a week earlier, but a true clearance of 29.5%. And if you want another take on this, look at this article in the AFI, who said the country's largest home builder says rising interest rates and uncertainty are outweighing Labour's changes aimed at encouraging housing construction, as official data showed new home loans written for first home buyers and owner-occupiers fell for the second straight quarter. They cite Metricon chief executive Brad Dugan, who said the company's sales had decreased 40% in some markets last month when compared to the first half of the year, as changes introduced by the Albanese government and higher rates kept property buyers waiting for more certainty. And he went on to say the reason for this is a complete evaporation in buyer confidence. People don't build new when established real estate prices are flatlining or in decline. The impact from the budget announcements is a significant disappointment, as the federal government's work and focus during 2025 and early 2026 was building real momentum in the market, he said. The government has been trying to sell the changes, including limits to negative gearing benefits and capital gains tax concessions, as a way of rebalancing the market towards a younger generation that has been locked out by soaring prices. But Labour has also been working to increase the supply of new homes, hoping that this will make property more affordable. But data published by the Bureau of Statistics I discussed highlight that fall in investor loan commitments, down 8.6%. And the loans to owner-occupiers and first-home buyers also dropped by 3.3% and 2.9% respectively. Now, of course, Treasurer Jim Chalmers pointed to the smaller declines in loans to first-home buyers to suggest that Labour's policies were working. What? Describing it as an encouraging sign that the market is shifting. So, Jim, tell me, less loan applications across the board is a good sign? Our tax reform agenda is all about helping more first home buyers into the housing market, and we expect to see those benefits play out over years, not months, he said. Oh, and by the way, Perth apartment developer Finbar said that it also experienced a slump in interest for its mid-priced units as buyers waited out the uncertainty. Those buyers responded similarly to how the whole of Australia responded. There is a bit of uncertainty and they will sit on the fence, the Finbar chief executive said. It's not only at our development sites that sales dropped. Keeping investors on the sidelines might help slow price growth, but it will also reduce the number of new houses and apartments being built. And loans to investor buyers for newly built homes did rise to 10,923 in the June quarter, and that made up 43.1% of the total, which, by the way, continues a long-term trend. But remember here, we're measuring construction activity rather than delivered homes, and separate ABS statistics showed new housing approvals rose to 204,609 in the year to June, which is a four-year high, buoyed by approvals for apartments, townhouses and semi-detached homes near their highest in 7 years. But again, approvals are not homes delivered. So the bottom line on all of this is pretty straightforward. We are definitely seeing a significant change in the weather with relating to housing. And I think we're going to see further falls, not over months, but probably over a couple of years. And that is because, coming back to where I started this, households have been caught in a terrible bind. Inflation is high, cost of living pressures are very high, real wages are not growing, prices are still very extended, so affordability is very difficult. And, well, we're not seeing significant good news with regard to cost of living. The RBA may lift again. Which takes us directly back to my conversation on Tuesday. Let's understand more about where households are in the most pain and what that may mean for those who may need to default or sell. We are in the foothills of the current crisis, and this is going to continue for some long time yet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.